Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
The final week of the first half of the season is here. And we got a on-paper big showdown with the Boston Celtics tomorrow. We'll get to why I say on paper. And this time it's not because of the Bucks. That's the good news. But I think the biggest news that we've seen in the last... How many hours ago was Thursday, Tommy? I'll let you do the math quickly here. I should have planned this out better, clearly.
More than 96.
Oh, wow. So in the last handful of days here is the addition of Jay Crowder. The move that we all kind of thought, did you think the Bucks were going to get Jay Crowder, or did you just hope?
I think that was the most likely candidate we were going to get.
But would you say you more thought it was going to happen, or you were more hoping it was going to happen?
I did not think the Bucks were going to make a move, and then when I saw Crowder get moved to Brooklyn, I thought he was off the table. So I was hopeful they would get something, but I was happy once he was moved.
I think the majority of Bucks fans were hopeful you would get Jay Crowder, and the thinking was, well, if we make a move, it's probably going to be for Jay Crowder, so I hope we get Jay Crowder. But we did have the first chance to speak with Jay Crowder earlier today, as he is here. He is practicing with the team now, and when... Can you expect to see Jay Crowder?
He won't play tomorrow night. You know, he's going to have a good few days with us before the All-Star break and take a few days and then come back and just evaluate him over the next 5 to 7 days and, 10 days probably, I guess, is what it's probably closer to. And hopefully get him integrated and playing, after the break.
That is head coach Mike Budenholzer. And we talked about this on the late night edition, the grab the cometeer and get ready for the night / morning and fill up on your coffee editions of Bucks Talk on Thursday and Friday into the early morning hours, that I don't think Jay Crowder is going to play until after the All-Star break, and Coach Budenholzer confirms it there. But just with how this team operates, think about when P.J. Tucker joined the team. It was a process to get P.J. Tucker on the floor. He was playing with the Houston Rockets, but still, he was nursing a bit of a hamstring, I believe it was, injury, and took a little bit of time for him to get on the floor. He voiced his frustrations with that at the time, but said, look, in hindsight, it was probably best for me. So you look at the Bucks having two games remaining. Then you got the All-Star break. Jay Crowder hasn't played a competitive game of basketball in over 9 months. You're like, well, I mean, use the roughly 2 weeks, week and a half to just continue to practice, get him set for games, and sometime in the second half of the season, we will see Jay Crowder make his Bucks debut. But as you would expect, Jay Crowder with some Milwaukee ties, we started to hear more and more of Milwaukee's where Jay Crowder wants to be. You saw some of the messaging on social media, and he reiterated that.
Very grateful for this opportunity to come in a locker room with already a great team. And just to add on to that, I think it's great for me. And I just come to do just that, just add on to what's already a great team and a great locker room. My first day with the guys here was unbelievably great. Great welcome from top to bottom. It's a family-oriented organization, and I'm very happy to be here.
Very happy to be in Milwaukee, where he played his collegiate ball. And for some other reasons, which you got to a little bit later, but again, why the Bucks from the start were the team, it seemed like, where there's smoke, there's fire, and these two teams, it seemed like, wanted to work something out. So just why the Bucks were his first choice.
Well, it was three factors for me. It was obviously a contender and winning team. I felt like I can add on to that. It was a role, having a role on a team. And I think people don't know, I'm closer to my daughter. I have a 9-year-old daughter. She stays in Chicago. And I wanted to, I was okay with coming out here to the Midwest because I wanted to be closer to her and be a better father. I was trying to be the best father I could with being a professional athlete on the West Coast of this thing. So I just wanted to be closer to my child. But I, obviously, basketball was number one. Being a part of a winning culture, being a part of a good team, and having a role was my check boxes of where I want to be next.
So that's the reasons, or those are the reasons, why Jay Crowder wanted to be in Milwaukee. And we mentioned his time at Marquette. Did not play with Wesley Matthews. They missed by 2 years, I think, roughly, right? You're the college basketball expert, Tommy.
Yeah, he definitely was after Wesley Matthews.
I know it was after. Because Wesley had 1 year with Jimmy Butler,
that
I want to say.
Right. Yep.
And then Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder may have played 1 year together.
Ooh.
Maybe. Otherwise, it was a year after as well.
I'll look at the internet.
Regardless, there's the Marquette ties. So the first thing Jay Crowder did when he landed in Milwaukee was literally take a stroll down memory lane.
Funny story. I landed here, and I took a joyride. I dropped my family off at the hotel a little bit, and I just took a ride down memory lane. I went to see where I used to stay at. I rode through the town, through campus. I just embraced it and took it all in. I think it's full circle for me in my life. And here we are 12 years later, 11 years later. I'm back where it all started for myself and this journey. So I think that played a major factor, too. I'm sorry to leave that out, but my other list was being able to be around some fans that really embraced me, and that's my Marquette family. And I think through ups and downs, they've always been there. Through all the different teams I played for, they've always been supportive, and I always felt that, and I'm grateful for that.
So his list or his criteria was being close to his daughter and his family, a culture and a competitive winning team and a culture that he would vibe with, and being in a market where his fans, it'll embrace him. And, of course, Milwaukee has those fans.
So Wesley Matthews did play 1 year before Jimmy Butler.
Oh, so not
Jimmy
with.
Butler and Jay Crowder did play 1 year together.
Yes.
Wesley Matthews did not play
with Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I've found out from the Marquette website.
That would be the place to start. So,
seems official.
Yeah, I'll take their word for it. So the last couple of things here from Jay Crowder, because I think this was one of the most interesting or most talked about aspects of it. Just what went down in Phoenix that led to this, as he put it, amicable separation between the two sides. But what happened there?
I just feel like it's behind me now. We have some stuff happened internally that they asked me to keep inside. So I'm going to grant their wishes. Obviously, I've been working with these guys for a trade partner for months now. I think, give or take, they did exactly what they said they was going to do. It took longer than what we all expected, but it got done. So I'm thankful for my time in Phoenix. I'm thankful for my teammates. I'm thankful for the organization embracing me the past 2 years. We had a great run. We did some great things in Phoenix, and we turned that culture around. So I'm happy for those guys. I wish them luck moving forward. But I'm moving on to my next chapter in my career. So it's here with Milwaukee.
So we didn't get a full answer, but there was basically, look, there's stuff that we've agreed to keep between us, and that's all I'm going to say about that for the actual ending there in Phoenix.
Oh, no, we had talked well before that. It went out publicly probably a month or two after. We had internal talks probably around July. I think we set the standard straight of what we want to do moving forward, both sides. And it was a business decision from both sides, and I can honestly say that. So, like I said, it drug out longer than what I wanted, and longer than what they wanted, obviously. But it got done, so I'm moving forward.
And that, to me, is the most interesting part, or one of the more interesting things that Jay Crowder said today in the roughly 15 minutes that he talked, was this wasn't just me. And I understand there are two sides to every story, but as he said, there was some stuff between the two sides. They wanted me to keep in-house. I am holding up my end of the deal with there. I'm not going to speak on that. But this wasn't just me saying, I'm not starting, I want out of here. Because that was the narrative we were all fed over the summer. This was something that, as you just heard from Jay Crowder, was mutually decided in July. Didn't trickle out until we got very, very close to the start of the season, yada, yada, yada. But it's Jay Crowder isn't going to start. Jay Crowder's going to come off the bench. He doesn't want to be there anymore. Jay Crowder is the reason why this is ending. And as he said, a mutual decision between the two sides. The last thing from Jay Crowder, though, is the timeline. not just on that mutual agreement to part ways, but the timeline of his flirtation with the Bucks.
The clash of two sides came together a little like a month after conversations with the team. I think the talk started to pick up, but I was totally letting Phoenix do whatever they felt best. They did ask me for a couple handful of teams that I preferred to go to, and I was appreciative of that. I did not want to go to a team of rebuild. Obviously, at this point in my career, I think I laid the foundation of being a winner in this league, and I would like to keep doing that. And I just want to give myself an opportunity to just win at a high level. I think that was my main goal to the front office. I didn't say that I want to go to this team or this team or this team. I just wanted to give myself a chance to continue to win in this league. And I think Phoenix understood that, and they appreciative of what I brought to their team. And that's all I can ask for when it comes to this business of basketball.
So that's the story from Jay Crowder, your newest member of the Milwaukee Bucks. Very appreciative to the Phoenix Suns for working with him to facilitate a move that would have benefited him and also the team. And a little more information, granted, we're never going to hear every single detail, but a little more information on why things went south or those two sides eventually parted ways. But again, Jay Crowder is now a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. The reason, or the man that played a big role in bringing Jay Crowder to the Milwaukee Bucks, is General Manager John Horst. He is this week's guest on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You will hear his conversation with Gale Klappa after this on Bucks Weekly.
The names you know.
We're joined by one of the key players on the Bucks roster, Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well. Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lazzari.
Talking about your favorite basketball team from on the court to off.
You never know. You might not have that many years left. So the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this. I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. When you're hot, you're hot. The Bucks have reeled off 10 wins in a row, the longest active winning streak in the NBA. And they've looked good doing it. Crisp in the half court, solid on defense, with the Greek Freak on a roll. Now another piece of the puzzle is on the way. At the trade deadline, the Bucks landed their number one target, a Marquette alum and a veteran of the playoff wars, Jay Crowder. Tonight, we'll talk about it all with the architect, the guy who shapes the roster for the Bucks, General Manager John Horst. John, welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us here on Courtside.
Thanks, Gale. It's an honor to be on here and excited to have a conversation.
Well, John, let's dig right in. It was obviously fast and furious in the NBA last week. 19 different trades as the deadline approached. And I know you were burning the midnight oil. Tell us, if you will, about the twists and turns in those last few hours.
Sure. As you mentioned, Gale, a historic trade deadline, actually. 24 teams participated in deals. Near the deadline, 49 players traded, I believe, both all-time highs. You know, and we were right in the mix in the middle of all of it, really targeting different deals, different things that we thought could really help our team, you know, in mold of versatile defenders, improve our playoff rotation, add to our shooting, seeking championship-type moves. And you know, one of the players who is well chronicled that we were targeting, Jay Crowder, was hard to obtain with the Phoenix Suns, and then was on the move as part of the Kevin Durant trade and ended up in Brooklyn. And so, you know, really had to pivot and adjust and figure out a different way and a different approach and stayed on it, and ultimately landed a guy that we believe could have a big impact on this year's team. So really excited about that. Definitely a lot of burning of the midnight oil, but the best time of the year, you know, really just a lot of fun, a lot of energy, and excited that we were able to get a guy that we wanted.
John, what was your reaction when you learned that Jay Crowder was moving from the Suns over to Brooklyn?
You know, you have a brief moment of anxiety, doubt, all the negative, you know, fears that we want to throw in there, negative kind of feelings. And then you take a deep breath and you go back to the board and you figure out another way. You know, we were very far down the road with the Phoenix Suns and discussions and options and opportunities related to Jay Crowder But like everyone, they are working on multiple things, and they had an opportunity to do a deal that they preferred, obviously, and got a player in Kevin Durant. And that put Jay on the move and put him back in the market with a bunch of suitors. You know, a lot of these top teams that are really competing for the same things would like to have had his services. And so back to the drawing board, and the group got together and refocused and came up with new strategies and new paths, and really proud of our group. You know, we collectively worked very hard to get this done.
Amazing twist and turn, as you say, with a huge, huge number of players moving at the deadline. And for our listeners, John, what's the most important skill that Jay Crowder brings to the Bucks roster?
I think it's hard to choose just one. It's a package of things that we think that he embodies and that he's proven, not only in his regular season play, but in his playoff play. The combination of his size, physicality, ability to defend multiple positions, and his willingness and effectiveness shooting the ball from the three, and he's done that in a winning way in Boston, in Miami, in Phoenix. And you know, we all got to see that firsthand in our battle against the Phoenix Suns on our championship run, Jay Crowder being a part of the Suns at that time. And so I think it's really that, Gail, that embodies the things that we thought could have the biggest impact on our team. And we really were excited about an opportunity to do that, really in a way without giving up any of our core 10 guys, you know, the players that have really contributed to this season's success so far on the court. In the biggest ways, we were able to maintain those guys. And so that combination was very enticing for us.
John, as you know, Jay hasn't played in the regular season this year. He and the Phoenix Suns agreed to part ways. How was his physical conditioning when you worked him out near his home in Atlanta?
It was great. You know, you don't know what you're going to see. You're not exactly sure what to expect. But Jay is an ultimate professional. Who cares a ton about his craft, about his body, about being healthy and being ready. And he took what was a challenging circumstance and really turned it into a positive and used it to work on new things and train in new ways. And so I was beyond impressed. You know, Milt Newton, our assistant general manager, and I, and, you know, one of our physical therapists, Ryan DeCaro, went and spent time with Jay in Atlanta. And he'd really done as best as he possibly could, you know, being on his own and not playing 5-on-5 every day. And so there'll be a ramp up period, of course. You know, he hasn't played a lot of 5-on-5 basketball, but for the circumstances he was in incredible conditioning, which shows how much he cares and how professional he is.
That's great to hear, John. And obviously, as you mentioned, it'll take a while for Jay to shake the rust off. How soon, John, do you think we'll be seeing him play meaningful minutes on the court?
That's a good question. I think sooner than maybe most would expect. You know, I don't anticipate we'll see Jay on the court prior to All-Star break, you know, playing in Bucks games. But I could see him, you know, either immediately after All-Star break or shortly after working his way back in. And, you know, it'll be soon enough. We won't rush it. The most important thing is overall his health and his readiness for our playoff run. But he's in great condition. He's healthy. He's very motivated. We've got the best medical training staff in the world. We've got unbelievable best coaches, assistant coaches in the world, and we'll figure out a great plan for Jay to get him back as soon as possible. I don't think it'll be that long, and I also know that we won't rush it.
To make the trade for Jay, John, you needed to give up a number of second-round draft picks. Did that price give you any pause?
Of course. You know, I think these deals are always hard to put together, and you try to figure out how to satisfy, you know, in this case, multiple parties, you know, different teams. You know, some cases it's just one team. But it's really hard to put deals together in the NBA. And in this specific case, it was really important for us not to touch our first-round pick assets. It was important for us not to touch our rookie in Marjon Beauchamp, who's, you know, we have a ton of excitement for and his path and his growth with us going forward. And we really believe in our team, the core group of guys that we have currently on this team. And so the thing that we had to be willing to part with to get a player of the caliber of Jay Crowder was our second-round pick assets. And so That's why you saw the construct of the deal that you saw. There was a number of picks, you know, one of which is this year, we hope will be a pick that's late in the 50s. One which is next year, which we hope will be a pick that's late in the 50s, and then some good future assets that we've acquired in the past for deals like this. And so, yes, it gives you pause, but at the end of the assessment and the analysis, we felt this was the best way to do the deal and very excited about how we were able to land Jay Crowder.
Amen. Well, John, if I did my math correctly, the Bucks still have two open roster spots. And, of course, the buyout market is on the horizon. Would you mind just spending a moment telling our listeners how the buyout market works and might we be active in the buyout market?
Well, as a fellow math guy, you did your math correctly, Gail. And, yeah, we've got two open spots. That was part of the trade. That's part of the analysis of the trade, is to not only land a player like Jay, but to have some flexibility with a roster starting immediately. And we'll be active. We will, you know, wait and see which players become free agents. We'll also study the players that are free agents, and we will kind of address the team as needed. You know, I think there is a opening for playing time and impact on our team in a couple of positions. There won't be a rush to fill any of those spots, as we really like the team that we have. But it really is an added opportunity for this team to continue to get better and solidify the group that we want to have together for a run. And so, you know, look for us to be active in engaging kind of with current free agents and potential free agents when they come available over the next few weeks, for sure.
John, just looking at potential need, do you think you might be on the hunt for a point guard?
Yeah, I think that's one of the spots that we've looked at. I think, you know, guard depth is always a helpful thing on our team. I think big depth is something, you know, our deepest positions probably currently on our roster are 2, 3, 4. You know, we really just have a lot of great wing versatility and wing depth. And so I think you're right. You know, I think we'll focus more heavily on kind of the ends of the roster, meaning the guard spot and the bigs. But like I said, there's not a rush. We like this team as constructed. So we'll really kind of wait and see and continue to analyze what we may need most, and then take advantage of that when it becomes available.
We'll have more with John Horst in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gail Plapa with Bucks GM John Horst.
John, I recall a conversation that you and I had a couple of years ago. You mentioned that one of the most important moves you've made as general manager of the Bucks was the signing of Brook Lopez. And given Brook's performance on both ends of the court this year, I'll bet you still feel that way.
No, absolutely. Brook is, I think, beyond paramount and impactful in what we do offensively and defensively. And then I would say culturally. You know, he's just an incredible human being, an ultimate competitor. He comes to play every single day. He works every day. He cares at a super high level. Offensively, he's having a career year, which is really saying something as such a, you know, offensive juggernaut that he was through most of his career, you know, being an all-star level player in with the Nets. And defensively, I think he's the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. And he's had an incredible season, but more importantly for the Milwaukee Bucks, he's had an incredible career with the Bucks. And there's no reason to think that that's going to go anywhere. We're just really excited to have him, Gail. You know, he's just really key to what we do, and I don't know where we'd be without Brook.
And gosh, to show your gratitude, Coach Bud even allowed him to leave the team and go say goodbye to Splash Mountain at Disney World.
Absolutely, that's Bud has many gifts, and as an organization, we care about our players and the things that they care about, and that was important to Brooke and Robin, and pretty cool. You know, it's a real passion and joy that those guys and so many get out of those theme parks. And so what a fun story, but absolutely sincere and genuine, and Bud cares about that. So pretty cool that he got to go do that.
For sure. Well, switching gears, John, it may be coincidental, but as you know, the Bucks haven't lost a single game since Chris Middleton came back from his leg injury. He's providing a tremendous spark, even with limited minutes. Your thoughts?
Yeah, not coincidental. One of the best players in the NBA, one of our top players. You know, we've said all along that we aren't going to make excuses for any of the struggles or the adversity that this team has felt, you know, without Chris. You know, it was our job to continue to be in a position to succeed and capitalize and be ready for him when he would come back. And now that he's come back and he's really back to who he is and working back toward who he is, I think it's easy to see the impact he has on our team, the impact he'll have on our season. He just is just a really, really high level player that fits us, and there's a reason that we missed him, and there's a reason why we've performed the way we have.
And John, we're still missing Bobby Portis, who is having arguably the best season of his career and was clearly in the running for sixth man of the year in the NBA. Well, what's the latest on Bobby's time frame for return?
Yeah, as you mentioned, we've had a total of one game this season with our team available. That was our Detroit game, in which Chris came back and Bobby played, and we played incredibly well in that game in Detroit. Bobby got hurt that game, thankfully not a long-term serious injury, and he's rehabbing incredibly well. He looks great. There's a chance that he plays at some point this week pre-All-Star. I think more than likely he plays post-All-Star. But really, all in all, not a serious long-term thing. And, you know, Bobby will be back and better than ever, and we'll be out there to really continue to pursue our team success, which I know we're all excited about. But individually, this guy's the sixth man of the year. What he's doing in terms of double-doubles, how he scores off the bench, his impact he has rebounding and defensively, and the success of our team so far, being a game and a half out of second place, not only in the Eastern Conference, but in the NBA, having the longest win streak in the NBA. And he is incredibly important to the success we've had. Bobby is the sixth man of the year, and you know, we can't wait to have him back.
And John, I know you're happy for Bucks guard Jrue Holiday finally getting recognized after so many years as the all-star he is.
Such a selfless player, Gil. You know, has the ability to, you know, dominate defensively, to dominate offensively, be impactful, be efficient, you know, offensively, and really just figures out how to fit in and cares nothing, you know, about nothing more than winning and helps his team win, you know, time in and time out. And so for him to be recognized by the coaches, to really get that coach's vote as an all-star, is really, really important. And, you know, I know it means a lot to Jrue. It means a lot to us organizationally. When we traded for him and went after him, we absolutely believed we were trading for an NBA all-star point guard, an all-defensive player. And he's proven that he's that. And so it's great to see the coaches give him that recognition. Pretty special.
John, comment for a second, if you will, about some of the absolute incredible shots that Jrue makes down on the baseline. Falling away, falling out of bounds, swishing shots over the top of the backboard. I remember talking to Coach Bud, and he was saying one night after one of these trick shots from Jrue that, you know, leather doesn't go through glass, so I think that was an optical illusion. Your comments.
Yeah, my only comment is that he practices it. So, you know, we see it. We see it in, if you watch his pregame warm-ups, he does it. If you watch him in practice, you know, today he does it. And I guess if you're going to practice it, it gives you a little more confidence to try it in a game, but doesn't make it any less remarkable or impressive what he's able to do in a game. Just an incredibly gifted athlete and a great person.
We'll have more with John Horst right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gail Klappa with the GM of the Bucks, John Horst.
John, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Joe Ingles. A savvy veteran, can space the floor, signed by the Bucks as a free agent in the offseason after a very serious knee injury. He got back on the court for the Bucks sooner than I think any of us expected. What are you seeing from him now that he's back in full gear?
Yeah, well, let's start with how impressive that is, Gail. I mean, just beyond motivated and to get back early. And Joe really worked as hard as anyone I've ever seen through a rehab to push himself and to push our staff to be in a position to get back sooner because he wanted to contribute to this team and wanted to really be in a full rhythm and full health, you know, when it mattered most. And so that was impressive to see. When we bet on him in free agency and he bet on us, you know, we bet on a chance collectively to win, to have an impact on winning. We believe that his passing, his shooting, his toughness, his IQ, size would really have an impact on our team in the regular season, but also in the playoffs. His ability to get shots off in the corner with his 6'8", 6'9" frame, his ability to get easy baskets for our bigs and our guards with his passing coming downhill out of the pick and roll. And I think you've seen all of that. And Joe really bet on us that he wanted to be part of a family organization, a serious organization. He wanted to have the best chance he could find to possibly win and win it all. And I think to collectively we're in that position together. So it's been a great fit. Joe is really an add to this team. And I think, you know, fans have been able to see it. And I think you'll see it even more as we play more and more meaningful games. He's built for the big moments, and I'm excited to see what he does in the playoffs.
John, Joe was our guest a few weeks ago on Courtside. He's clearly just thrilled to be here, thrilled to be with the Bucks, and he is a character. What a sense of humor he has.
Incredible locker room guy. Just has a gift to connect with everybody, you know, whether it be a video intern, all the way through a head coach to a GM, to his teammates. He just has a great personality. People love to be around him. He's fun. And he can kind of do the unique thing on the court where he's having fun and he's connecting with everyone, but he's also a serious competitor, which is a really unique gift. And so, yeah, he's been a great locker room add off the floor as much as he's been on the floor. And so just couldn't say enough about Joe Ingles and the fit that he's been and how lucky we are to have him.
John, as we look forward, when play gets underway after the All-Star break, the Bucks will have just 24 games left in the regular season. How difficult, John, as you look ahead, is the Bucks' schedule down the stretch?
Oh, really, really tough. I think 24 is correct, Gale. I want to say it's a 12-12 split in that we've got 12 at home, 12 on the road, so no real home advantage the rest of the way. You know, depending on how it shakes out and how teams handle the rest of the season, we'll play 15 to 18 of those games are going to be against playoff teams. And we've got six back-to-backs remaining. And so that means, you know, 50% of our remaining game schedule will be tied to a back-to-back. And so, it's a tough schedule, but it's great preparation, great way to lead us into hopefully a deep playoff run. And we'll have to stay healthy, but it'll be good for us to really – hone in on our skills and hone in on our habits and be hopefully ready for a great playoff run.
And finally, John, you've always said that it takes three things to win a championship. You got to be good, you got to be healthy, and you have to have a little luck. Give us your thoughts today on each of those three factors, if you will.
Sure. I absolutely believe that. You know, health, we've talked about a little bit on this chat today. I think we're trending up, you know, and looking forward to having a fully healthy team and focusing on just our conditioning and our habits and our chemistry together, you know, really playing with our group. You know, from a talent perspective, I believe that we have accomplished something that's hard to do in this league. And when you have a top performing team and one of the teams that already predicts or projects to be one of the, you know, championship contenders, to improve that talent and improve your odds. I think we've done that by adding Jay Crowder. I think we'll have chances to do that with our open roster spots, as we talked about. And so I really think from a health perspective, we're trending up. A talent perspective, we've improved. And when it comes to luck, you know, Gail, I'll leave it to you. You know, I'm going to leave that one on you. We got to be lucky, and I'll keep saying my prayers on this end. There's not a lot you can do. And so we'll see. You know, I believe in this team. This team's been built in a certain way for certain reasons. We've tried to adjust and improve on last year's group. We try to get better every single day. Really a credit to our players, our coaches, our training staff. I think we've done that. And so we'll see. We got to be healthy. We got to be good, and I think we are, and we've got to be lucky.
Well, John, to that end, we'll light a few candles on the way to Fiserv Forum. John, so great to visit with you. Thanks for taking the time. Always fun to talk with you. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, our thanks to Gale Klappa and John Horst for that conversation. If you missed the interview or any of the interview, you can find it on our Bucks flagship podcast feed. You can also find our post-game shows there. and to all of this show as well. There was a couple of games on the schedule tonight worth monitoring, and so far the results have not been what you would hope for. The 76ers have beaten the Houston Rockets 123-104, 51 combined points from Joel Embiid and James Harden. Tyrese Maxey as well, throw him in the mix, 77 combined points from that trio. And the Sixers win to get to 37-19. Cavaliers win as well. They beat the Spurs 117-109. So the Cavaliers up to 38 wins now on the season. And some news yesterday off the floor for Cleveland. We're starting to see those buyout names start to find homes now. And Danny Green traded from the Memphis Grizzlies, found his way to the market via the buyout now, and Danny Green is signing with the Cleveland Cavaliers, the place where his career began, and that's an area of need for the Cavs to find another wing player, specifically a three, to just sit out there in the corner and hit shots. So the Cleveland Cavaliers adding Danny Green. Sixers now two games back of the Bucks for second in the East. The Cavs are three back, and the Sixers 3.5 back of the Celtics. Cavs are 4.5 back of the Celtics. And now we're starting to see more and more separation, not only between 2 and 3, but certainly between 4 and 5 now in the East. We'll preview the matchup with the Celtics, clear up any confusion that was out there on the injury report, and get you set for that matchup tomorrow night after this on Bucks Weekly. First half of the season comes to an end Thursday night. The Bucks have the Boston Celtics at Fiserv Forum tomorrow. Thursday, they're in Chicago to take on the Bulls. That Bulls team, by the way, in action tonight. They are currently down 11 to the Orlando Magic, and don't look now, the Orlando Magic, you can't fully rule them out of the play-in picture. So if Orlando wins and hangs on here, they're going to be 24-34. They'll be a half game back of the Indiana Pacers, who are 25-34, and the Bulls will drop to 26-31. So just 2.5 games separating the Magic and Bulls if Orlando hangs on tonight, and they are currently 3.5 out of the play-in tournament. I mentioned the Indiana Pacers. They played earlier tonight and lost to the Utah Jazz, but we saw some old familiar faces on the court for the Pacers. George Hill back in Indianapolis played 10 minutes tonight and nearly had a trill. Had a steal, and that was it in his 10 minutes of work. Jordan Wara played 17 minutes and scored 7 points. Serge Ibaka was the other component to that deal. He has since been released and is free to sign elsewhere. But really, the Sixers and Cavs games were the most notable ones that I mentioned on this scoreboard. The Brooklyn Nets are also playing. They are getting blown out by the New York Knicks, 123-100, with just under 2 minutes remaining. So when we mentioned those standings, said the Nets were 3 games back of the Cavs, that number is going to keep sliding as Brooklyn is going to drop to 33-24 on the season. Celtics tomorrow are basically going to be without everyone. The Bucks have listed Giannis and Pat Connaughton as probable. Bobby Portis and Jay Crowder are out. Jaylen Brown is out. Marcus Smart is out. Jason Tatum has a non-COVID illness. We'll see if he plays tomorrow. So you are going to be catching a shorthanded version of the Boston Celtics, making this really a must-win. And I hate using must-win when we're only in February, but you have a chance. You win this, you even the series, and you got 1 game left, which is also in Milwaukee. So you got to win these 2 games to take the tiebreaker, and you may need that, as right now, 1.5 games separating these 2 teams. You win tomorrow, you're just 0.5 game back of the Celtics. 6:30 tip tomorrow, 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for our extended post-game show, Bucks Talk, tomorrow night. We'll talk to you then on WTMJ.